Daf Chaf Zayin. So I got to the bottom three lines of Chaf Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara had been talking about whether you could use a Kusi versus an Ovid Kachavim as a Moel. The Gemara went back and forth, switching things around. The Epoch, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. So the last three lines of Chaf Vav Amud Beis, the end of the line, the Gemara says, V'savar Rabbi Yehuda Ovid Kachavim Shapir Dami. Does Rabbi Yehuda really permit a goy to do a mila? Tanya, the Braisa tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Omer minayin lemila b'ovid kocham shu psula. He clearly says it's psula. It's possible for a goy to do the mila. Shenamar based on the pasuk v'ata es brisi tishmer. Only a person who keeps the bris, in other words, a yid, only a yid could be a moel. So Gemara's Eliyom lo tipach based on previous discussion. Don't switch them around. Really, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds that a goy is possible to be a moel. So what the Braisa, when Rabbi Yehuda permitted a Braisa for a Rofe Goy to give a Mila, if he holds in general a Goy can't give the Mila, so the Gemara explains that referring to a Rofe Mumcha, a professional, well-respected Rofe. So normally speaking, a Goy is entrusted to give a Mila, he might kill the kid. But Rofe Mumcha, Rashi says on the top of Chav Zayin, Lomar Nafshe L'Shavya Karishivcha. He's a profession, he has a reputation, he doesn't want to ruin his reputation, so for that is enough Mirtas, enough fear for him to be trusted to give a bris mila. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Dichi also Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael, returning to Babel. He quoted Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Im haya mumchal rabim mutter." He said that if the doctor is professional, he's well respected amongst the tzibur, so then he would be trusted to give the meal. So now Gemara says, so if the Rabbi Yehuda holds a goy cannot give a mila, that means he also holds the Savar Rabbi Yehuda kusi shapir dami. So does that really mean from yesterday's daf that a kusi may give a mila? V'hatani, the Braisa tells us that Yisrael mal es a kusi v'kusi lo yimol Yisrael mipnei shemal l'shem har grizim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is a clear statement in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who does not allow a kusi to give a mila. What's the reason why? Because he's doing it l'shem har grizim. He's doing it l'shem avodah zarah. He's not doing l'shem mitzvas mila. He's not doing l'shema. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly says a kusi cannot give a mila. And Amar lo Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi argues in Rabbi Yehuda in this brayso and says, "V'chi heichen matzinu mila min haTorah l'shma." Rabbi Yehuda, who cares what his intentions are? We don't have l'shma here. It's not baking matzahs here. It's not gittin. It's not something else that requires l'shma. It's not making a sefer Torah and tefillin. It's just doing a ma'aseh mila. So Rabbi Yosi says, "You're wrong. We don't find anywhere that you need l'shma." Ella mal, let the kusi give a bris mila. Let him die. So he can do whatever he wants, even though he's doing l'shem avodah zarah. He's going to get killed for doing l'shem avodah zarah. But that's regardless, that's separate from the inyan of the bris mila. He did a ma'aseh mila. That was good. So this is the question, Rabbi Yehuda, even though we thought earlier, a kusi may give a mila, here clearly Rabbi Yehuda says a bris mila cannot be done by a kusi. So I want to come back to this point. It's clear from this price, at least, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to have a bris mila l'shma, which is a very, very strange thing. We're going to do a tosis here, but let's just finish this whole shakla taria first. So the Gemara says, fine. So we're still stuck in the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So el li olam epoch kedapchinon meikara. Really, we're switching what we said earlier. Which is what? That Rabbi Yehuda really holds a kusi may not give a mila, but a goy can give a mila. But then we have a stira with two Rabbi Yehudas about whether a goy could give a mila or not. That question we had of a stira with Rabbi Yehuda with regards to a goy giving a mila, hahid Rabbi Yehuda hanasi, he a different Rabbi Yehuda. There's Rabbi Yehuda stam, and there's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer, minayin lemila, b'ovid kochavim shi psula. So Rabbi Yehuda Stam holds a goy can give a mila, but Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds he may not, and that's based on this pasuk, tamalomar, v'ata es brisi tishmor. Okay, so Gemara now wants to know, finishing off this piece here, Amar Rav Chista, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda allow a goy to give a, now why does he hold, which way? The Lishma. Right. How come he holds Lishma in the previous discussion? So Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, Lashem Himol. The whole Pasuk is talking about a carbon Pesach. It says, V'chi yogri itcha ger v'asa Pesach Lashem Himol. Lashem, you have to do, the Mila has to be Lishma Lashem. That's why you have to have a Lishma, and that's why Kusi, who aren't Lishma, they do not give a good bris Mila. Rabbi Yosi says, you're misunderstanding the Pasuk. Himol Yima, that he holds that, we'll get back to this, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Himol Yimol includes a kusi, a double lashon, Himol He, Limol is saying including even a kusi is good. V'idach, but how is Rabbi Yossi going to answer the pasuk, Haksiv Lashem Himol? Doesn't it say Lashem Himol? That has to be Lashma, and a Kusi cannot do a Mila Lashma. He has Lashem Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yossi responds, you don't need Lashma. Hahu bePesach Ksiv. When it says in the Pasuk Lashem, it's not going on Lashem Himol, it's going on Pesach Lashem. The current Pesach has to be Lashma, but the Mila doesn't have to be Lashma, in which case Rabbi Yossi allows a Kusi to perform a Bris Mila. So then Rabbi Huda, who says a Kusi's puzzle, what's he going to do? Nami haksiv himo yimol. Isn't there a double lashon here? Isn't that coming to include some other personality to give a bris milah? Gemara says no. Rabbi Huda holds dibra torah b'kalashon ben adam. Sometimes when people speak, they speak extra. They say extra words. They repeat words. The Torah also repeats words sometimes. It's b'lashon ben adam. In which case, we can't darshan every single double language. And in the end, he paskins that a Kusi is not going to be kosher for giving a bris milah. Look at Tosas Dimar Maschil, V'chihechan Matzinu Mila Lishma. Where else do you find Rabbi Yossi challenged? Where else do you find the situation where the Mila is Lishma, needs to be Lishma? So Hachamashma says, Tosas, here it implies the Rabbi Yehuda Afagav Dibai Mila Lishma, even though he requires Lishma, Rabbi Yehuda, Maskinan Dimichshala Bobet Kochavim. How come he allows a goy can Lishma, give Lishma? Even though the Kusi doesn't do Lishma, he says a goy will do Lishma. So V'tema, Maishnam get, why is this different than get? Diba'ina lishma. The get has to be written lishma for the shame of the ish and the shame of the ish. Upaslina and ksivas over to kochavim get. But by get, we say a goy cannot give the proper lishma. How come by the mila, a goy does have lishma, but not by get? He quotes beperk gittin beget perk amevi. Vishim dovi kochavim adaita denav shikavit. He does it based on whatever he wants and not based on the Torah. So a get is possible by a goy, but mila is kosher by a goy, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So he gives the following distinction. V'yeshlomar de lo dami. They're not similar. You can't compare get to mila. De liolam ovid kochavim stomach ovid. He does stomach. He doesn't think. The goy just acts. So what is the status quo? That's the question. What's the stam case? So gave mila, de stama lishma koi. Case of mila, by definition, is a very strange thing to do. That maisa alone clearly indicates it's being done lishma. So he does whatever the status quo is. Status quo for mila is de stama lishma koi. As long as he doesn't have a negative intention, he's doing l'shem har grizim, he doesn't do l'shma, im kein, b'obed kochavim, d'stama, kavid, it's k'shera when it comes to the mila. Aval get, isha, stama lav l'shma. The stam get is not going to be stama, status quo, being l'shma, l'shem gittin. The stam isha lav l'gerishin omed. So a woman is not meant to be divorced. It can happen, but it's not meant to be divorced. That's not the status quo of what her goal is going to be. Hilkach, you need some more of a proactive lishma to infuse it with a proper mitzvah. Hilkach, get bovid kochavim possible, because he doesn't think about get. He just writes whatever, and he's not infusing it with a proper lishma. And therefore, Hilkach, tzarech sheyifarish kosev aget betchila saksiva, before he writes the get, he has to say out loud, ani kosev l'shem plonis. You have to add in, you have to infuse it with the lishma. And he says, so too, v'hu adin, when it comes to Sefer Torah. The sofer has to say explicitly the following: Ani kosev l'shem Taras Yisrael. That's what he's supposed to say. V'askaros l'shem kedusha. When you say l'shem Hashem, when you write l'shem Hashem, you have to say this is l'shem Hashem. D'stama lav l'shma kai. So depending on what the status quo is, will dictate whether or not you have to say explicitly what you're trying to accomplish. Okay, Gemara now says Itmar. Yeah.
This isn't also telling you the machlokes of Kusi is really a Geri Emes or Geri Arayos.
It creates 100%. If it's Geri Emes, then this whole discussion doesn't apply. Right. It's assuming it's Geri Arayos, right. In which case it's L'shem Har Grizim. 100%. Yeah. I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't invoke that here, but you're right. I think Rabbi Hudin Rabbi Meir, they're the ones who argue. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Gemara says now halfway down the narrow lines here, Itmar minayin lemila b'orid kochavim miship. Psula, how do you know it's possible by a guy? Darubei Papa, that's his name, Mishmei Derav, Amar Va'ata es brisi tishmor, only those who are bichlal the bris as opposed to a guy who's not bichlal the bris. Rabbi Yochanan argues a different source, Himol Yimol, he says no, it's coming to include that only one who has a mila can give a mila himself. So my benai, what's an afkamina? They both hold the same result, just different ways to get there. So the Gemara says, Arve Mahul, Arabs, the Muslims get the Mila, Yishmaelim get the Mila as well. They're Mahul, the Gavnune, Mahul, and also Gavnunim, they also get Mila, Ika benayo. That's the afkamina. What does that mean? Man, Damar, Himal, Yimal, Ika. They have Milas. So a Muslim who has a Mila can give a bris Mila. He's a Himal, Yimal. But man, damar is brisi tishmor leka, because the Ishmaelim, although they might be mahul, they're not bechlal the bris. In which case, they may not give a milah to a yid. So the Gemara says, Ulman damar himal yimal ika. Behatan, the one who holds that really that Ishmaelim are considered mahul, but the problem is the Mishnah in Nedarim tells us otherwise. That an individual who says koneim shani nehenem min ha'arelim. A person says, I'm not going to get any hana from a person who's arel, who has arla on him, the arel, the mila, he's mutter b'ar le Yisrael. If he's allowed to get hana from a yid, even though the yid may not have a bris mila. And v'aser b'mole ol dekachavim. And he may not get hana from a person over kachavim, even though he's mahul. Meaning it doesn't depend, their mila, how come he doesn't, he's mahul. If I say I can't get hana from an arel, and that Yishmaeli is mahul, he's not arel, I should be able to get hana from him. So the fact is that just because he's removed his physical arla doesn't mean he's considered a mahul. It's not about a physical arla or not, it has to do with his ruchnis, his connection to Yiddishkeit. So the Gemara just makes it clear, alma, afa gav de mahili, even though Yishmaelim are mahul, it's kiman de lo mahul dami. It's as if they're not mahul because they're doing things that are meaningless for them. There's no Torah, there's no halacha for them to do that. So therefore, even if you assume himol, yimol is the source, why a guy can't be the mohel, a Yishmaeli would still be disqualified. Ah, he's mahul, isn't it himol, yimol? His mila is insignificant and he's still considered an orel, even though lemaisa he has a mila. So that cannot be the nafkamina. Se Ella, ik benai, what's a nafkamina? Yisrael shemesu achav machmas mila, v'lo maluhu. A boy whose older brothers got milas and they died from the mila, so after a chazak of three brothers dying, the fourth one is pater, because of onus, he doesn't get a mila, it's dangerous for him. Bikuach nefesh overrides his receiving a mila. So he's a yid, he grew up religious, but he doesn't have a mila. So what's the, how's that a nafkamina? L'man damar v'atas brisi tishmor ika, this yid, he's part of the bris. He just, lemaisa doesn't have a mila because of a bikuach nefesh. But he's part of the bris, so he can give a mila even though himself is an ariel. But leman damar himol yimol, only what, those who have a mila can give a mila. Leka, he's not allowed to because lemaisa he doesn't have the mila. That would be the nafkamina. Mar says, still, it doesn't make sense. But leman damar himol yimol leka, is it really true that he's not considered mahul since lemaisa he doesn't have a mila? The Mishnah tells us in the Dharma again, Konim shani nana mimolim neder, I won't get hana from a person who's a mahul, aser bareli Yisrael. He cannot get hana from areli Yisrael. What, the Yisrael, the yid, doesn't have a mila. I say I can't get hana from a person who's mahul. He's not mahul, even though he's a yid. And he's mutter bimole ov dikachavim, and he's allowed to get hana from a goy who is mahul. So you see, it doesn't really depend on lemaisa whether you're mal or not. It depends on whether you're Jewish or not Jewish. So even a Jew who doesn't have a mila, he's still called mahul, as the Gemara clearly says. Afagav de lo alma, afagav de lo mahile. Even though the yid doesn't have a mila, he's command in mahul udami. It's as if he is mahul and he's bechlal the pasuk of himol yimol, and he can give a bris mila, whether it's based on himol yimol or whether it's based on v'ata es brisi tishmor. So again, what's the nafkamina between these two different sources? Ella the Gemara says, Ika benayu isha. Can a woman give a mila? Leman damar v'atas brisi tishmor leka, disha la bas mila hi. She not bechlal the bris of mila, so she can't give a mila. Uleman damar himol yimol ika d'isha kamandim mahalidami. Since women are not born with an RL as an RL, so therefore we're considered as if they already are mahal, so they are bechlal himol yimol, but they're not bechlal v'atas brisi tishmor. So that's the nafkamina. So Gemara says, Mi'ika man damar ishalo. Can anyone really say a woman cannot give a mila? We have the first pasuk that tells us. V'haksiv, the pasuk tells us that v'atikach tzipor tzor, she took a rock, v'atichros es orlas, the binah goes on to say in the pasuk, that she cut off the mila of her son. So clearly it was a good mila. So first pasuk, it must be an isha is allowed to give a bris mila. Gemara says, no, because karibe v'atukach, what does it mean v'atukach? Mean Rashi's ayde shliach. She herself didn't give the mila. She appointed someone, unclear who she appointed, who was there. Moshe Rabbeinu was being swallowed by a snake. She appointed someone else, perhaps, to do it, but she herself wasn't doing it. But v'haksiv doesn't say v'tichros, which is she cut it. Karibe v'tichares, and she had it cut on her behalf. but now that she was actually doing it. She said to someone else, someone else was the one who was doing this. Now this gets into an interesting shaila, that a person could only appoint a shliach if she herself could do it.
No.
But exactly, if she's not a mol, she can appoint someone else to do the shlichas for her, right? The concept is if I can't do it, I can't appoint you to be my shliach. So how was she able to do it, appoint a shliach, if she herself is pasul? So they say, in the end of the day, when she appointed a shliach, she wasn't appointing a shliach for herself. She was appointing a shliach, shlucha derachmana. Not for herself, just as a general shlichus of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to ensure that this individual, this her son, receives a bris milah. That's one way to wiggle out of this. Other, yeah, what? No, but it wouldn't work though. No, shlichus, not bikuach nefesh.
I think to say, killed, no?
The question was the milah good milah though.
Right.
I don't know.
The kid has a chiyuv on himself.
Exactly. Correct. So the question, but she cannot appoint a shliach for his obligation.
Right.
So the father has an obligation. It could be his obligation is secondary to his son because his son's too young to do it for himself. But the other answer that's brought down is that she doesn't have. There's two dinim when it comes to bris milah. There's the ma'isa milah and then there's the mahal, the totsah. So with respect to the ma'isa milah, the women are not chayv in the ma'isa milah. You only need shlichas for a ma'isa milah. For non-ma'isas, let's say to build a fence. There's no inyan of ma'isa building a fence, a maka. I need my house surrounded. How it gets done, who cares how it gets done? You don't need shlichas to appoint a poel to do it for me. So if you focus on the totsah, the result, as long as it gets done, whoever gets it done, even though there's no real shlichas, so that would be one way around it. There's a Tosafot written in, they don't quote this, but Tosafot says women are also chayv in the hishtalus of getting it done. Even though they're not chayv to give the actual bris milah, the hishtalus, they have a chiv to ensure that it does get done, in which case I would imagine they would be able to point to shliach as well, according to that Tosafot written. Okay.
Well, the men are away at war, there are only women there.
Yeah, and
I assume they can do it.
It's a good question, but it seems that from the Gemara in bris, in Kedushin that they would be possible from doing it. Lamaisa, we'll see in the bottom how we paskin, but it sounds like Pashup Shadr, they wouldn't be able to do it. If it happens, it's onus and there's no other choice. So look at the last line for a second in the Gemara. Ibai Seima, another explanation is, Asya Ihi Vaschala, Tziporah started it, and once Moshe was saved, Asya Moshe Vagmore. Moshe came and finished off the bris milah, which itself is very interesting how that works. But okay. Look at the bottom toast here, how to paskin with regards to an Isha giving a milah. Isha la bas milahi, three lines from the top, from the bottom. Yesh lifso ki rav, vein isha ksheira. Lamu, we should paskin like rav. Yafa gav di rav, Rabbi Yochanan, halacha Rabbi Yochanan. We normally paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over rav. But ha, halacha could be rav, should be kirav. The brisa di Rabbi Yehuda hanasi kaima kvase. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda hanasi's brisa above, and a woman should be possible from giving the milah. About baal halachas gedolas, pasuk di isha ksheira lamu. He paskin otherwise. So there's a machlokas, I believe Shulchan Aruch paskins that a woman is pasul from giving a milah. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now in the bottom of Chav Zayin Amun Aleph, Misrapin Mehen Ripui Mamon. You're allowed to receive refuah from Ripui Mamon. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Avalo Ripui Nefashos, that cannot be received from a non-Jew. Vein Mistaprim Mehen Bechol Makom, you can never receive a haircut from them. It's dangerous, they might stab and kill a person. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Chachamim Omrim, Berishus Rabbim Mutter, if it's in the public and there's a glass window where people could see, so then you could trust they won't murder you, but not in the privacy of your own home or his own home, then you can never trust them. So the Gemara is going to explain what that means, but not in today's daf. So the Gemara asks, my Ripui Mamon, my Ripui Nefashos, what does that mean? You could allow them to do Ripui Mamon, but not Ripui Nefashos. Ilem, if it means Ripui Mamon Bishar, that you could pay them for a refuah, but Ripui Nefashos Bechinam, you can't get free service from them. Well then, listen, Misrapin Mehen Bishar Valol Bechinam. That would have been a much clearer language to indicate that point of Schar versus Chinam. It doesn't say Schar Chinam, it says Nefashos versus Mamon. So what does it mean? Ella ripoy mamon davar shein bo sakana. If it's not dangerous, that's called mamon. It's only monetary loss. It's a damage to the person's body. That's allowed. But ripoy nefashos davar shein bo sakana. If it's dangerous, so then you cannot get from him because you're concerned that he might do something incorrect if you're very, very delicate. So Gemara says can't be true because v'hamar Rav Yehuda afilu rivda dekusilta, which Rashi explains is bloodletting. That bloodletting, which is not considered dangerous, it's part of regular checkups, I guess. So lo mitasina minayu. So even though that would be considered ripui mamon, a non-dangerous, non-invasive type of refuah, so that we still don't allow to get refuah from a goy. So it sounds like you can never get refuah from a goy. So what's the Mishnah talking about? Ella ripui mamon behemto ripui nefashos gufe. If it's your animal, so then you could trust them to watch your animal and take care of your animal. Go to the veterinarian, that's allowed. But if it has to do with you, then it'd be usur. The Hainu, the Amar of Yehuda, that's what Rav Yehuda meant. Afilu riv tzadikul silti, even getting a shot from them, which is not really dangerous, lo metasina minayo, we cannot really trust them. So there is an interesting tshuva. Rav Moshe talks about going to a non-Jewish psychologist or therapist. Is that something that's allowed based on this discussion? It sounds like you can't go to a doctor ever for yourself. But what about a non-Jewish, what psychologist? Is that allowed? So Rav Moshe is very against it because he says they could tell you things that don't make sense, tell you to do things that are against the Torah. You really should only be able to allowed to go to a frum psychologist.
Why is it talking about psychologist and not just doctor, regular doctor?
So we'll see in a second, I probably jumped the gun, we'll see in a second when the doctor is trusted, when he's a mumcha, if he's really a respected doctor and he's concerned of his reputation, his profession, then you could really trust him. The psychologist who could say whatever they want and they'll convince you to do something that goes against the Torah, so then you can't trust them. So the Gemara says, Amar v'yuchista, Amar mar'ukva, aval im Amar lo, sam ploni yafalo, sam ploni ralo motiv. He tells you what to take. Doesn't do any refuah to you. He says, take this, a psychiatrist, right? Or he's telling a pharmacist, do this and do that. Then you could trust him. Why? Says the Gemara on the top. Savar shule mashilo, kechad mashilo. He's going to, just like he asked me, he'll ask a second opinion from some other doctor. He said, wait a second, you told me to take this amount and that would have killed me. That psychiatrist told me to take this amount and so therefore, since he knows he might get thrown under the bus, so you could trust his advice, but don't trust his actual refuah. The Gemara then says, three lines down. Amar Rava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rami La others say, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Safik Chai, Safik Meis, Ein Mishrapim Mehem. If you're unsure whether the Jew is alive or not, so then you shouldn't get a refuah from a guy. But if he's Vadai Meis, Mishrapim Mehem. If he's definitely dead, if he's definitely going to die, and there's no Jewish doctor around, so you have no choice, then you should trust him. So if you look at Rashi says four lines down from the top here, if it's a Safik Meis case, he says three lines down, Safik chai, safik meis, choli, a illness, she'im lo yirafenu rofe, safik yichya, safik yamla. So if the doctor doesn't treat it, it is a safik whether he'll die or not die. Maybe he'll just be able to fight it on his own. And maybe he won't be able to. It's a 50-50, let's say. So then the halach is, ein mishrapim mehem, don't get healed by the non-Jewish doctor. Dovid kochavim vadai katule. He'll certainly kill him in this case. Umutav she'aniach ula yichya. Rather, let your body, your immune system, try to overcome the disease. But if it's a case, Vadai Meis Mishrapim, says Rashi, Heichad Yadinan Shim Lo Yerfenu. If you know for sure, if you don't treat it, then Yamos, he's definitely going to die. V'ein Kan Yisrael Erfu, so there's no Jewish doctor in the area, so then Mishrapim, and then you certainly can rely on him. It's at least better. Either it kills you, or you're dying your own. So there's no 50-50 here to at least take the chance of the Goyish doctor treating you. So the Gemara says, Meis Ha'ika Chaisha. So wait a second, if the doctor, non-Jewish doctor, treats you now, he could kill you this moment. If you just let everything take its course, you could live another few days before the illness actually kills you. So shouldn't you at least get the 3 days of living, the chai shah, momentarily living, as opposed to being killed right now? So the Gemara says, l'chai shah l'chashin, and we're not so concerned with chai shah. If he, even though he quit, 2 or 3 days, we're not that concerned with. Rather, you endanger yourself, have the guy give you a refuah as opposed to getting another 2-3 days and avoiding the guy. The Gemara, the Tosfos on the top here, I'm not going to go through right now, talks about other cases where we are concerned with the Chai Shav. Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, even though the person might only live, if I do a refuah on Shabbos, he'll only live another 10 minutes, we'll still do the refuah on Shabbos, even though he won't live another full day or another full week. We are concerned with Chai Shav. In other instances, how come in this case we're not concerned with Chai Shav? The Tosfos deals with that on the very top here. The Gemara wants to know now, Minot Tamer, how do you know that we're not really concerned with Chai Shah? That we say, get refuah from the Goy doctor now, even though he might kill you right now, as opposed to waiting 2-3 days until the illness takes your life. Because it says in the Pasuk, it describes that it's a Pasuk in Malachim Beis that there were different Mitzrayim that were sitting outside the camp and it was hungry. No one was giving them any food. They were dying of a famine. and they wanted to maybe go to the city, but if they go to the city, they might be killed. So they said, "Im amarnu navova ir, if we go to the city, v'arab ba'ir, v'masu sham, we might die there, but if we sit here, we'll also die, because there's no food as well." So they're making the decision, if it's better for them to go against halacha, they might be killed for traveling, or should they sit and die in famine, staying outside the camps? So we see from here, v'ha'ika chayisha, so shouldn't they just stay outside the camp and let the famine kill them in 2-3 days, as opposed to endangering themselves going to the city where someone might kill them right now? So it must be, since there was a possibility that they could find food in the city, even though they might get killed, they may not also get killed, that even though that's risky right now, and they could have stayed 2 days without any risk, we still were not concerned with chayisha. Better to take the risky move right now than to take a safe move of dying 2 days later. The Gemara now says, asks the question, Meisive. Lo yisav yitin adam im haminim. A person shouldn't do any business or any dealings with a min. Vein mesrapim mehen, don't get the refuah from them either. You can't trust them. Afilu lechayisha. Even if it's going to help you live for another few moments, still they're better not to be involved with them at all. And the Gemara goes on further to say that was once a maisa beben dama ben achosesh Rabbi Yishmael, the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, she kisha nachash, was bitten by a snake, uba Yaakov ish kvar sakanya, the refuasa, this doctor came to heal him, and he was a min apparently, below he nicha Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael didn't allow the doctor to treat his nephew. His nephew was busy dying from a snake bite. Vamale Rabbi Yishmael, achi hanachlo, so he says, Rabbi Shmuel, my brother, please, the uncle he's talking to, please let him, I'm dying here, let him heal me. Okay, he's a min, but I'm going to die. Vani avi mikro minatar, bring you a pasuk, shumut to him, he's allowed to rof it, to wrap in me. So his pick, ligmar sadavar, he wasn't able to finish his sentence, hachi yatsu nishmasu, until he died. The nephew died and wasn't treated by this min. So umesi died. The Kara love Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel referred to his dead nephew now. Ashrecha ben Dama shegufcha tar v'yatsa nishmascha betara. So praiseworthy you, my dead nephew. Sorry to say it so morbidly, that your body is tahor and your neshama left tahara. You weren't involved with any minim. V'lo avarta al divrei chavercha. You didn't go against your friends, the chachamim's words, not to be masa matin with them. Shehayu omrim, they would say, uparet geda yishachenu nachash. Those who breach the fence, who violate our rules of the Chachamim, are going to be bitten by a snake. So that's how his nephew passed away. So we see from all of this, though, that what was the Shaila here? How we bring this? What's the context? So just like a min can't give a refuah, so to a goy shouldn't give a refuah either. There is no heter. So above we said, if the guy's going to vade meis, we said you're allowed to go to a rofe to heal you, a goy rofe. Here, he's about to die, and Rabbi Shmuel says, you can't go to a rofe. So Gemara says, no, shiny minos de mashcha de asal limshech basrayo. A min is worse than a goy. An anti-Semitic Jew is much worse than an anti-Semitic non-Jew. A guy is not going to, he'll hate you, but he's not going to try to convince you otherwise. A min's going to try to convince you, it's much worse to be involved with a min. So that's why by a min, we don't let you get involved with him at all, even if you're going to die, as opposed to a guy we try not to, but if it's pikuach nefesh, so then you would be allowed to attend the guy doctor.
Lemaisa today?
I believe we invite and look into it. I believe we pask him based on the fact that since he's a rofe mumcha and berabim, he's concerned with his profession. If he's known to be a professional, so then you could go to him. Now it's probably not hard to find the top doctors being from anyways. But if you can't find that, the best doctor is in Texas, a non-Jewish doctor who does a special treatment of liver, let's say. So then certainly you'd be allowed to go to him. And that would also be a case of pikuach nefesh, when there's no doctor. It's a case of there's no doctor as good, it becomes like Eino Yisrael in the Be'iro. Okay. The Gemara then says the last 10 lines of the page here, Amar Mar, Lavart al divrei chavercha, shi omrim uparet geda yishachenu nachash. So he says, don't go against the words of your friends, of the chachamim, because then the punishment is you're going to be bitten by a snake. So the Gemara says, Iunami chavya tarki, he's been by a snake already, so what's he going to lose? He already is, so he goes against him, so he'll get bitten a second time. He's already dying from the snake bite. So the Gemara says that Dirabanan de Leslay Asusa Klal. The difference is the snake bite of a Chachamim, that's a punishment that you can't fix. His snake bite was he was just walking in the wrong place at the wrong time and got bitten. That's a refuah. There's a refuah if you know the right guy. But if it's bitten because it's an onesh from the Rabbanim, even the refuah is not going to help. So, fine. The Gemara goes back to the story now. My Havalei Lameimer. What did Dama ben Achos Asher Rabbi Shmuel? What did the nephew want to say, Rabbi Shmuel? What was his proof going to be that I can be saved by the Rofe, even though he's a guy? He was going to say, there's a pasuk tells us famously, V'chai behem, v'loshi musbehem. We're supposed to live by the Torah, not die by them. The Torah says we're supposed to stay alive, but if the mitzvahs are going to cause me to die, then that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants me to live. And therefore, Bikuach Nefesh overrides all the mitzvahs except for the big three. So Rabbi Shmuel's response would have been, Hani Mila Betzina. That's only in Betzina can you violate Averis to save yourself. Aval b'farhesia lo. But if it's done in public, and this apparently was a public scene here, to let a doctor b'farhesia to be rapa you, that would be a violation b'farhesia. That is, there is no heter v'chai b'hem. Tanya haya Rabbi Shmuel, omer minayin she'im omrim lo la'odim avud, over the tzchachavim v'al tarog. Person says, do avod the zara and it won't kill you, that you're supposed to she'avod v'al yarog, you're supposed to serve. One might think you should do avod the zara and live, as it says, tamalomar, v'chai b'hem, you're supposed to live by them, v'lo she'amus b'hem, not die by the rules, not die by the halachos. That's a heap, we don't agree with this, by the way. We hold in general you don't do avodah zarah, obviously, even b'tzina. But Rabbi Shmuel held b'tzina, you would violate avodah zarah to save yourself. But Rabbi Shmuel said that's only true yachal afil b'farhesya. One might think if this whole, this took place b'farhesya, you should also worship avodah zarah to save your life. Tamalomar v'lo sechal l'shem kachi. If it's done in public, where it's going to be Chil Hashem, at that point Rabbi Shmuel says you cannot violate the Avera. So even though this is talking about Avodah Zarah, he said it applies across the board. To do any Avera before Hesya would be a violation of Chil Hashem, and better to take one's life than to violate the rules of the Torah and the rules of the Chachamim. Okay? We'll stop here, everyone. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you guys, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow.